I want to tell you, as you come in, there's that beautiful background music, guitar. That's Chuck Walker, by the way. That's his. It really is great music, and it's great traveling music. And I must admit, I have one in my vehicle, so that when I take a trip of any more than 20 minutes or so, it's a very nice background traveling music. And thank you very much, Chuck. Another item is Diana, you know, our poet laureate, has developed a couple of poems which are on our website. And for those who don't read our website, there are hard handwritten copies outside on the help desk. Yesterday, now maybe someone has retrieved it, but we found in here last night a laptop, IBM laptop battery charger. So if anyone has lost such an item, it is at the self-help desk. We have two birthdays today. Nick, where are you? Where is Nick? There's Nick and RB. RB and Nick, happy birthday from all of us. At the conclusion of this morning's session, Mary is going to make a few comments about plans for Prince George, and she will explain why you're signing up for restaurants and take any other questions you have about Prince George. And I'm also very pleased that Peter's parents are here today, Emil and Danuta Puck. Where are you at the back there? Pleased to recognize you. And we have our usual friends, and thank you for being with us. So we now have, when you arrived today, you had on your desk the preliminary statement, your statement. This is your statement to the people of British Columbia. Your statement about the kinds of things, the ideas that you would like to leave with them as we now go forward to public hearings. And what the statement attempts to do, in essence, it tries to capture as quickly as it can the essence of what you were discussing yesterday, at least where the common ground was and where you were yesterday. It commits us to some very basic values that we hold as very important in terms of our voting systems. It suggests that certain kinds of voting systems would embrace these values more strongly than others, and there are some voting systems that would not come close to embracing those values. We also say in this statement that we're open to all ideas, that we are entering the public hearings willing to listen to, first of all, any responses to our statement of values. We want that to happen. But we also are open to all ideas. We are going there with open minds because we see this as an extension of the learning phase. So Ken and I are now happy to hear your comments on your statement. This is your statement going forward. It's a statement that tries to capture the consensus, the essence, the spirit of where we're at today, and a statement which will hopefully be the foundation for a good, open, honest dialogue in the public hearings. So we are happy to have comments on that statement. Yes, Gladys.
Yes, I just read it, and I am very, very pleased with it. Thank you very much. I think it's excellent.
The authors are Ken Cardy and Campbell Sharman, of course. Wendy.
I'm also quite happy with the statement. There's one little comment. Well, there's one or two little comments I have. Under local representation on page 5 in the middle, the second paragraph, the statement says that the Assembly is aware that British Columbians in rural areas and in locations far removed from the heavily populated capital and lower mainland regions feel especially strong that their concerns aren't heard. I'm a member from the populated capital. I personally feel that the capital is also not heard very frequently, even though we're very close to the legislature. So I guess I'd like to see that removed, but maybe other people have different opinions about that.
Or amended.
Well, I don't think the capital gets heard as well.
Okay. I see a sign of lights going on. I think we've got that registered. Paul.
Yeah, thanks to the group for doing this over the evening. I think it's great. I wonder if we could add a little section at the bottom here that kind of has an overview of what's next, to just give British Columbians just an overview of where we're going to go from here with the after we receive the public comment, then we're going to go to deliberation phase. Just right at the end?
Oh, that's a good point. I think we probably will do that. And the other thing is, it was raised the other day, which I think it was Craig, but we didn't pick it up yet. And that was whether it's a sidebar or whatever, how the assembly members were selected. That is why, you know, how the assembly members, just a paragraph, but how the assembly came into being and how the assembly members were selected. I don't think we've got that yet, and we'll have that in there. So, okay, something about the assembly members and something about a little bit about going forward. Great. David. Thank you, Mary.
I'd like to congratulate Ken and Campbell for steering around the rocks and bringing the statement in safely. I think they've done a great job. And especially sort of summarizing some of the issues that we discussed yesterday when we were talking about alternative systems. I noticed in the last page, in the third to last paragraph, there's the comment, on the other hand, systems that are not responsive to the goal of increasing the proportionality of the system would seem to offer little in the way of an advantage over the single-member plurality system we now use, which I think nicely summarizes the concerns that were expressed yesterday afternoon around majoritarian and the mixed-member majoritarian systems. But I also heard yesterday afternoon a fairly strong consensus of concerns around closed-list systems, which I don't see reflected. And I wondered whether it might make sense to express those concerns in this section. Something along the lines of the Assembly also has some concerns with the limited voter choice provided by closed-list systems, if the Assembly feels that's appropriate.
Yeah. Well, it's a very major question. Do you want to be that specific on that one? How do some members feel? Generally speaking, I'm going to actually get a kind of a test of the waters here. What David is suggesting is that we did, and many members did express some concern about closed-list systems. What we have done here, of course, we've indicated the features of systems without mentioning any specific systems. Do you want, in this case, to mention a specific system? I think, is that, David, have I expressed it fairly?
I didn't particularly want to pick any, you know, pick a system, but the fact that you're not able to vote for, express your choice of individuals. And maybe that could be, it's a feature rather than a system, but it's clearly a point of, I mean, what I'm trying to do is capture the sense of the Assembly yesterday in that there are concerns around closed lists.
Could we, I think you're moving in this direction, David, so that it's consistent with the rest of the statement. Could we perhaps be then a little bit more specific about that which we value rather than naming a specific system?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Does that seem reasonable? Can I say that's – let me see a show of hands. Does that sound like where you want to go? Okay, let's do it that way then. Thank you. Ray? Ray, where is Ray?
Yes, on page 4, under weaknesses of the current system – the thought came to me that the current system was based on a two-party system, and essentially we do not have a two-party system anymore.
Only two in the legislature.
There's only two in the legislature right now.
But overall in the province, there's more than two parties that are relevant in terms of voter count.
Okay. Roy, can we take that under advisement as a potential amendment or addition? Thank you very much. Julie?
Yeah.
Where are
when
you,
is
Julie?
This? I'm here.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry, Julie.
When and to whom is this report going to be submitted?
This is for the public. We assume that we're expecting, by the way, that the Vancouver Sun will basically reprint this word for word. It'll be on our website, and we'll distribute it as widely as possible. It'll be available at public hearings.
I was just wondering if, as part of our mandate, does this have to be formally submitted to the government that undertook this assembly?
No. Obviously, a copy will be given to the government, but our responsibility is to send this to everybody as we can within the province of British Columbia.
When do you intend to do that?
As soon as it's cleaned up and ready to go.
Okay.
very soon. I would imagine that would take maybe a week or something of that sort. Probably a lot less than that. Depends. It's up to you guys. And in a way, RV.
No, I don't have any more comments on the paper.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks.
I want that to go on the record. RB's briefest statement to the assembly. RB, don't change it now. You're on a roll, so let's just leave it where it is. Who? Neil?
Lil.
Oh, Lil. Lil.
I just wanted to comment. Someone suggested that we needed to add more at the end of the statement about what we'll be doing in the fall. That's actually already listed on page 2. It says the second phase involves listening to the public. The third phase, scheduled for the fall, we'll meet to hear formal presentations and debate the issues around their mandates. So you've already included it. We don't need to include it twice, do we?
That's true. What we might want to do is we might want to reorganize it such that it is the near the end so people can see that after the hearings, this is what's next. Thanks, Lil, for pointing that out. Douglas?
Well, I want to thank the authors for keeping the number of acronyms to a minimum. They've only used MLA, and it's only been used a couple of times. No STV or AV or everything else. And the reason I bring that up is, again, speaking for a lot of our province people that are not as literate as some of us here, the only thing I'm going to add is that possibly could we look at not a full glossary, but maybe a brief listing of some of the key terms and what their meanings are, just so it's clear for everybody. You're looking at somebody that maybe have a grade 6, grade 7 education reading this, and they're going to get a little ways into this and stop because the terms are going to hold them up. Little things like single-member plurality, just a brief definition as to what that is. So if we could add, as I said, and not a full glossary, but only just some of the key topic terms, have them defined, I think would be a very good idea for the whole province. I mean, we're talking to people that are still in school. Grades 8, 9, and 10, 11, and 12 are going to be reading this as well. And it should be understood by everybody in the province.
Good point, Douglas. Thank you very much. Rob?
Yes, I was just wondering whether the members were going to be able to get a copy of it so we could submit it to our local newspapers as well.
You're going to get it as soon as it's ready, Rob. Within days, you'll get it on the website. We'll mail it out, hard copies. This is an instrument for all of us to use. Yep. Chuck. Where are you, Chuck?
I guess I'm questioning one of the lines in here about we invite, it's on the first page in the preliminary statement. We invite comments on this as well as our suggestions on which other electoral systems we believe offer, and we haven't listed any other electoral systems, so I was wondering if we could just take that right out.
Yeah, we will fix that up.
And also, in the next paragraph, we are still busy learning about other democratic electoral systems. I'm not quite sure what that, if that implies that during these public meetings we're still going to be studying new ones that come in, or are we finished that phase?
I can see that Professor Carty has got that noted. Thank you very much. Ray? Ray, where are you?
Thank you. Yes, as a representative of the OBA, I'd like to sort of congratulate the Night Owls for doing phenomenal work in what is delicate surgery to put this together. And I'm fully supportive of it, noting that I'm particularly warm to the people who say, like the Capital Region person, could you include us in something? I don't understand that, but wish that you would accept those sort of recommendations from the regional people. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Harley.
Just thought it might be appropriate to attach a schedule of the public forums to the end of this as well. I don't know if that would be too much for the papers to handle. I would also like to hear from the people that were a bit apprehensive of this process yesterday. I believe that we've seemed to have come to a consensus, so it would be nice to know for sure. And I just kind of wondering between Ken and Campbell, who caught the horse and who rode it back?
They work as a team. Do you think think we've got it? Think you've got it? It's yours, okay? We have first Shoni and then Susan.
And then
Ann. Okay, sorry.
Just had a couple of things. In terms of the glossary, I think that's a great idea. And I understand people's apprehension around acronyms, but as well as the full term, could it include acronyms? Because people will Google them, and that's what they will find it under, and it needs to be, both need to be given for people that do use acronyms. Secondly, on the fifth page, in the third paragraph, the last sentence says, it anticipates that any reformed electoral system would need to maintain a strong element of local representation. I'm wondering if we can remove the word strong, because I think that rules out too many systems at this point, because we're saying we want to maintain an element of it, but we don't know what that will look like, and it may have to get creative. And thirdly, just speaking to Ray's comment about the two-party system, although there are more than two parties in the province right now, I think it would be good to include it because it is a feature of that system that only two usually get to be relevant within the legislature. That's all.
Okay. Susan?
Thank you. This is not on this subject. This is, we've been tossing some ideas outside this morning about being separated for July and August. And some of us are thinking the long weekend in August, having kind of a camp out in the Caribou, Highway 24 area. Everybody pay their own way that wants to come. There's beautiful cabins, beautiful lakes, beautiful hotels. And we'd just like to toss that out.
Okay.
Anybody interested?
Thanks, Susan, for the suggestion. And Anne, please.
Further to Douglas's comment, in the first paragraph we referred to...
Could you speak right into the mic, Anne? Thanks.
Further to Doug's comment about clarifying some of the key issues, in the first paragraph where we talk about strengths and weaknesses of our current electoral system, could we actually name our system clearly? Because I know a lot of people don't actually know the official term other than first past the post.
Okay. Can't hear you, Lynn. Linnell, what are you saying?
Sorry, it is named right under number 3. It says assembly members are cognizant that the current single-member plurality electoral system.
Okay, does that just about do it? We've captured, I think, the essence of your response. We have picked up some editorial comments, which we will take under full consideration. Some have been fully accepted. It seems to me that we have a statement from the Assembly that we can more than live with, that we are proud of, a good statement. Do I read that that's what we have? Okay?
We're going to make some change.
And I would like to, again, give full recognition to all Assembly members who work very, very hard and reviewing the previous documents, who've read all the materials. We have come a long, long ways in understanding the values behind electoral systems and the systems themselves and what implications they would have for voting. But we're going to learn a lot more. We're going to learn a lot more in the hearings, and we're going to learn a lot more when we get back here in the fall. But I would just like to, when you have a good dinner at a restaurant, you ask for the chef. And I think that this time the two persons who listened very hard to you are the authors here. And so I'd like a great big round of applause for Ken and Campbell. And that applause is for you, too. I'm now going to make some comments about going forward. And when Campbell, irreverent as he is, he's a very quiet guy. He's very irreverent, actually. put this down on the desk. He says, going forward, I guess that's opposed to going backwards. It seemed to me, though, at this point, that it would be useful to give you an overview of where we're going from now until the final report, to review, if necessary, the mandate. Can't hear you. Well, is that better? To, again, review, if necessary, the mandate, to talk about public hearings a bit, although Leo was going to pick that up, talk about a Prince George agenda, give you that agenda, and to make sure that you're reasonably happy with it. If not, we'll change it. To talk about the elements of the deliberation sessions that we're going to have in the fall, and to talk about something that we've not talked about much, and that's the elements of the final report. I think that's important for us to be reasonably clear about that. So the mandate is, I think we're clear. My hunch is we're clear in the mandate. Our job is to determine whether the current voting system we now have should be changed, and if so, to what. All other matters are outside the mandate. We are only to look at the current voting system, to review it, to see whether it ought to be changed, and if it's to be changed, to what. And then if we're going to recommend a change, we have to be very detailed about what that change is. We have to discuss the implications for politics in BC. We have to talk about how this would impact behavior in the legislature, what it would look like on a ballot, what a ballot would look like, and all those kinds of things. But that is the extent of our mandate. We're talking about 79 seats and 79 seats only. So that's the mandate. Later on, when I come back to the final report near the end, I want to talk about how we might be able to pick up other considerations, because I think that's important for us to do. Any questions then on the mandate before I move on to public hearings? Yes, John.
It was said before that we could change the number of seats a little bit, but now it's only 79 only?
79. Any other questions? Let's see if I can use this thing. My goodness, it works. We have another irreverent person amongst my colleagues, and that's Cassie. Where are you there? No, he's not. When I distributed this amongst the discussion group leaders the other day, he said, what's this complicated, messy piece of paper, you know? And it's not enormously important, but there's one point I want to make. And generally speaking, when I'm involved with something, I like to know the relationships. I like to know the elements and the relationships. And this is what I've tried to do here. And essentially is that we have our mandate from the people of British Columbia. The legislature, on behalf of the British Columbia, created us through the Order and Council and through our mandate in terms of reference. I suppose if there's one box that's not there, is that they also appointed a chair. And that went through to the phase of selecting our members. As we have now thought about it and reflected on it, that phase of membership selection is far more important than I think many of us thought it would be in terms of the outcome, in terms of the quality of the discussions that we are now having. We are now completing our learning phase where we talk mostly about values but also about different kinds of electoral systems. We are now into our hearings. We will debrief in Prince George. We will have presentation to the Assembly in the first week of September. We will then enter into our phase of discussions, deliberation, and hopefully a very strong consensus, a decision, a report, either for no change or a referendum. My point of putting this on here, not only for myself, I like to walk around with a kind of a mental model in my head about kind of what we're doing and how things kind of fit. I'm sure as you do as you're running your McDonald's, Tony, you want to know how all things fit together. Is that there are two things that we're not working in isolation. You know that Ken and Campbell have provided us expert knowledge, but so have David and Elizabeth, so have our facilitators. But they are drawing on hundreds, if not thousands, of people who have researched the field, political scientists, mathematicians, philosophers, and others who have worried about electoral systems. So we draw upon all that extra expert knowledge as we go forward, and that's terribly important to recognize. And we just happen to have two political scientists who can take all this, extract it, synthesize it, and make it very simple, as well as our discussion leaders. But a very important element of what we're doing, and as we go forward, this is really important. That's the citizens of BC. The citizens of BC, in essence, through their legislature, created us. You were drawn by sample from the citizens of BC. You are interacting now with the citizens of BC, but now they have some very specific roles. That's in the hearings. They will come to the hearings, which we'll talk about it again. The most important part, and I'm going to end with another slide, is the citizens are going to be watching us very, very carefully, or some will be, as we go through our deliberation phase. And this is where I think we pick up another value. At the very beginning, we created our shared values about how we work together. When we get into our decision phase, our deliberation phase, my hunch is we have to pick up another one, and that is we have to be perceived as fair. The public has an uncanny sense of knowing when an organization, a university, for example, which I've had most experience in, or a government or a business or whatever, is fair or not. And we have got to maintain that perception of fairness. Whether or not our report is accepted in the end, regardless of its content, will be determined by whether the public has seen our work as being fair, as though we are fair to the public. The public hearings. Leo was going to go in some detail about public hearings, but really we have two purposes. And one is so that the members of the public can see you face to face and tell you what they think. What they think of your report, which you've just given them. Some people will come with a very preferred system, and whether it'll be a form of proportional representation or STV or whatever, and they will want to look you straight in the eye and give you their views about their preferred system. They want to meet members of the public. They don't want to enter into a debate with you about this, or at least we should not want to enter a debate about them. You will want to ask them questions for clarification. We will want to know what they most value. What do you value most in your electoral system? And that is the essence of the public hearings. And in terms of those objectives and the logistics, Leo will go into some detail, as we will in our discussion groups. The Prince George meeting. I have suggested only verbally before. I've never put it before you, but I am suggesting that this could be your agenda. So this is a proposed agenda. Happy to have your comments about this now and, of course, on the forum or by any other means prior to getting to Prince George. And, of course, we can always change the agenda when we get there. The suggestion is we look at three basic questions. What have we learned from the public hearings? And indeed, the reason for the Prince George meeting, otherwise, other than just making sure that we weren't apart for too long, was to try and have a meeting right after the public hearing so we could say, what have we learned? Here we're going to depend on Ken and Campbell to go through all the various summaries and to try and pull out the essence of what we heard. But, of course, you've been at all the public hearings. And so we're going to ask you to get into your small little groups and to work out what have you, in essence, heard in the public hearings. Report all this back and bring it to some kind of a summary form, probably in the morning of Saturday in Prince George. This is what we have learned. This is what the public has told us in our public hearings. The afternoon, we'll go to what we have learned in the public submissions. Now, Campbell, you don't see as often as you might see Ken Cartier. Campbell's a very busy guy. Campbell is the guy who looks after public submissions and does an enormously good job. We have now over 140. And when people send these in, of course, they come in sometimes not the best organized form. Campbell organizes them. He does a summary of them. Of course, some of the authors of these don't like the summary. And, of course, then they capture Campbell. They get him on the phone. Sometimes they get him in the office. Campbell will tell us what we have learned, give us his idea of what we have most learned from the submissions. And then a lot of you, I know, have read them. And then we'll get into groups again and ask you, what have we learned then from the submissions? And then thirdly, probably in the morning of Sunday morning, if we haven't partied too much in Prince George, Mary, you've got to watch us to make sure we be good, okay? We're going to take a look at and I've got another slide coming up. What does the deliberation process look like? What's the decision tree going to be? What are the questions that are going to guide us through to making a final decision? We'll talk about that in Prince George so that we're fairly clear about the process. It's very important that it's your process and you own it. I can suggest it, but you've got to do it. Also, we'll have a preliminary report from the selection committee. We'll probably hear something very special about the North, and we're going to have some great hospitality. Any questions or comments on that agenda so that we can do some further work on it? Yes, Rob.
Are we going to be hearing any submissions from people from the north who are unable to get to the south?
No. Just as we're not hearing submissions here either. No. Yes, John.
Will we be getting copies of, from other meetings before Prince George so that we know how the other meetings went?
Yes, and as a matter of fact, you reminded me to tell you something else. I believe I'm right, Campbell, is that in the coming week, we're mailing to you summaries of all the submissions that we've received to date, okay? And then when you get in Prince George, we'll give you an updated list, summary of all the submissions to date. Secondly, we will, not each day, but maybe over a week or two-week period, we will give you summaries of what we heard in the public hearings so that you don't get the whole raft like one day before you get to Prince George, okay? So this period of May and June, or even April, May and June, is not going to be just two or three hearings. You're going to get a lot of stuff in the mail, and you're going to hear from us in a whole bunch of ways. And that's really very important. Thanks for that question. Any other questions about the agenda or the process? Yes, Margaret.
At the first meeting, Jack, when I discovered that all of the facilitators and presenters are from Lower Mainland universities, I pointed out to you that the medium is the message, and that having a process in which everything is facilitated from Lower Mainland people is a bit awkward. And you had anticipated the possibility of doing something with UNBC, and I wonder if you were able to facilitate that.
Ken has been in touch, and he will report. In addition, we may organize, we're still planning on organizing a symposium in the fall with all graduate students from all of the four public universities or five public universities here a one day, and we're going to ask our current facilitators to help organize such an event about electoral systems. So that's on the planning books too. Harley.
On the deliberation decision process, I know we're going to talk about that in Prince George. Will we see anything prior to Prince George to be able to look at and think about before Prince George?
Well, I'm going to give it to you right now.
Okay.
Yeah, great question. I'm so pleased I was ready for the answer. Yeah, no, actually, Harley and I are really working very closely together. This is a suggestion of the kinds of the questions that we might go through, the kind of decision tree, so to speak, that we might take a look at Prince George. Are throwing it out now, and we can put this on the web, give it to you in the mail. We want all sorts of suggestions. But in Prince George, this is what we're going to discuss, probably Sunday morning. We'll discuss this in some detail. Is this the way we want to go about it? Clearly, what's not on the list under questions, of course, is we have to refresh our memory about what are the fundamental values that we thought were really important in electoral systems. What values do we want our electoral system to reflect and to incorporate? That is number one. And we'll refresh ourselves and ask ourselves that. Then secondly, do we want to consider a change? My hunch is that you've already answered that. Of course we'll consider, in quotes, a change. Then we'll go to the question, some measure of proportionality. What extent? What kind of proportionality will we be looking at? Some local representation. Is it strong? Is it how high a priority? What kind of local representation? Is local representation more important in the northern areas than other areas and things of this sort? Have to explore that question in some detail. And then four, what systems then accommodate our responses to the first two, the questions two and three? What systems are there? What, three or four or five systems? And sometimes we'll get very specific about these systems, accommodate these responses. This is where we're going to have to be quite specific. Rather than just a paragraph or a two-page description, we're going to have to take a look at this system. How does it operate? What effects in the legislature? What does the ballot look like? What are the consequences in terms of behavior of politicians and political parties? Will it make any difference in terms of party discipline? All those kinds of questions we'll have to take a look at for each of two or three or four systems we're going to look at. We have to know them in detail. Then we'll choose one that we think looks like the better, the best of the works. Because as we've learned, there's no perfect system. And then we ask the question, which we must ask ourselves, do we prefer this system
now that we understand it, in every one of its aspects, to our present system? That is a yes or no. And then we go to our recommendation. We'll either recommend that we keep our current system or we will recommend a new system. And when we recommend a new system, we have to spell out a rationale and we have to provide it in such detail. We're going to be very, you thought you've been busy over the last weekend. We're going to be very, very busy people. We have to spell it out if we recommend a new system in sufficient detail that it would almost provide draft legislation. Any questions about that now? Although this is the agenda for Prince George and it'll be on the website and you can talk about it and everything else. But any quick comments or questions would be fine. Anna.
I actually have a question about informing the media. And you were saying that the preliminary statement will go to the Lower Mainland newspapers or the provincial newspapers, but is there any plan to put them out to the community newspapers?
Our communications persons have just walked in the room. And Don in Maryland, the question was, we indicated that the preliminary statement will go in the Vancouver Sun, but do we have any intention of trying to get these into community papers?
Or a portion of them.
The Sun is certainly interested in running it. There's no guarantee that the Sun will run it, but we're certainly working with them to do that. We have some hopes that the Victoria Times Colonist will also run it in full. No decisions yet, but we want to start moving on the media communications plan today.
Can we help with that somehow? I know our local newspaper's been very quiet on this.
Well, you can. And Don, do you want to carry on?
Yep. There's a volunteer. Thank you.
I mean, like, how would we just...
Well, since I have the mic, but Don can come here and speak in the mic if you'd like to. I know that they are working very, very hard in identifying, first of all the local papers. Advertisements will be in all the local papers for the public hearings. Those advertisements will say a preliminary statement is available, and this is how you can get it. We are going to send to you posters that you yourselves can place in various locations around your community. We are going to send you copies of this statement so that you can give it to the newspaper directly and to other organizations. And Don, have I got all that right?
No, you're right there.
See, my goodness, I passed the test. And anything else?
No.
Use the mic, please.
Is this on? Thank you. We have a budget for advertising, and we will certainly be putting out advertising about the public hearings coming up. Because of the timing of that advertising, its impact is necessarily going to be limited. We're asking the public to remember that a hearing is coming up some days down the road. By far the most effective form of advertising out in the communities, other than the big city media, are the 160 people who are sitting in this room. And we hope, and we will work with you and provide you with all the help and material we can. We hope that you will be out in your communities pushing the existence of the preliminary statement, talking to your local media, trying to raise their interest in it, putting up posters in everywhere from the local laundromat to the Safeway store, and trying to constantly engage people in your community in the value statement, the statement that was finished off this morning, and try and bring them into some discussion and urge them to come to the public hearings. You can do a lot more than we can. We can certainly send material to the media, and we'll be sending tons of material to the media over the next few days and over the weeks leading up to the hearings. But by far the biggest and best ambassadors of the Assembly are the Assembly members themselves.
Thank you very much, Don. Susan?
I was just going to suggest that possibly our Chamber of Commerce would be interested in some promotion for us, and also to promote through the libraries.
Those are on our list, Susan.
Oh, are they?
Yep.
Okay.
Frankie?
Yeah, you've probably already got this covered, Don, but I was thinking of the university and the college newspapers, the UBC. I mean, there's 58,000 students at UBC and SFU alone. You've probably got those covered, but, you know, that would be a good place to advertise as well.
Thank you. Those are indeed on the list, and Susanna Haas has been spending ages drawing up an enormous list of agencies, organizations, places to whom we can send stuff, and try and engage their interest in promoting the hearings and the work of the Assembly as well.
Douglas.
I'd suggest, if you can, try to approach your local city councils. And myself, already, I've already presented at our Prince George City Council. And the nice thing about it is it's video on Shaw Cable. So that is an excellent way to get this message out. Even if you're just mentioning the preliminary statement and asking people to check the website, it's a very effective and very fast way to get that information out there.
Susan.
Jack, just before Don came on, you mentioned something about posters, that we're all getting posters. Are everybody going to get them?
Yep.
Like we can put them around the community?
Nice, colorful posters. Yep.
Oh, thanks.
Yep. I've not quite got the list. Barry, tell me. Who? Julie.
Just a quick question with regard to this preliminary report. For people, for example, if something actually does make it to the newspapers, and for those that don't have web access, is there a budget for if somebody called your office to get the full statement sent out to them?
Oh, yes, we'll
or
send
any
it
other
out.
Information?
Oh, yeah, okay. We'll send it. We'll mail it to anybody who can't get it through electronic means. RB.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Now, I also want to refer to the need for soap boxes that we talked about in newsletter of March 9th. Excuse me. I think in this regard, it may be appropriate to send a special communication to all the target groups, including the Chambers of Commerce and high schools, letting them know that the Assembly members are available locally to make some special presentations. There we can also refer to the web address and say members can be contact details are given in the website.
So,
because right now with the preliminary paper, it does not go into that aspect of it. So either it must go in here, saying the members are there to make the presentations. If not, please make a special have a special communication with those agencies. Thank you.
RB, it's in the plan. I know we give you a lot of paper. You're going to get more paper just precisely on that. Yeah, support the pulp mills. Who? Carolyn.
Yes, it was regarding libraries, which I'd already sent to Don with the Richmond Library. He was extremely interested. He's going to put it on their website and also was going to put it in the Richmond Library newsletter. And anything else that you want, just get it to the chief. I've given you the name. And he will distribute it amongst the members of the library.
Okay, good. This is a good discussion. Sorry, carry on. Good discussion. You will get a package of things about communicating, and should you then wish to follow up with Marilyn or Don, please do so. We'll get one more question on this, and we'll move on. Thank you, Vicki.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment on the rural areas, and just to let everybody know, you have a team partner there. There's two people from each area, so maybe to get together and go and do all these things that need to be done to get out to the public, I think the message would be definitely stronger.
Good idea, Vicki. Thank you very much. And then I'll – yes, Dal.
Just a question for Don. Don, have we had any – requests or any interest shown from different ethnic radio or TV or newspapers?
Yes, we have had some interest, and we've had some coverage on ethnic television and radio in particular, and it is a field that is on our list for much more activity, and we'll be certainly strongly in touch with them down the road.
Now, if some of us, if we get some radio interviews or newspaper interviews, could we get one of the communications, like yourself or Marilyn or somebody, to come out and maybe give some additional information?
You bet. I'm available 24/7, and Marilyn's available 24/8.
And that's true, actually. I don't think these guys go home, you know. Taya.
I was just going to ask if it were possible to get our business cards replenished, because I know I've given most of mine out.
Yes. Leo says yes. Is that right? There's a few at the front desk right now, and we will and work those out. Jack?
Just on Dal's point, is there any provision being made for translating the statement into
other
languages?
We are giving that very heavy consideration, yep. Fred?
Yes, I'm from Maple Ridge, Bed Meadows, but I have an associate, and there are two other people representing the Maple Ridge mission area, but these people all live in Maple Ridge, and they are present here. Because I don't see very well, I don't know, I can't find them. I would like them to get in touch with me here today, and I would like to just discuss a few things with them, if that's okay.
Okay, Fred, thank you very much. Well, that's been a very good discussion. I'm glad those questions came up about our communications plan. Mary?
I just wanted to say that you can also, as a member, contact the community groups. I already had several requests, one for Rotary, and I'm doing a presentation at my Rotary Club tomorrow. And in April, I'm doing a presentation for the Prince George Community Foundation. So if you are a volunteer on a board, it's a great way to get the message out. Give them a call, ask them if they'd like to hear more, and if you can come to their board of directors meeting and do a presentation. So, you know, we can't always rely on the media, so we have to do that on a one-on-one basis.
Thanks, Mary. And quite a few members have given presentations. So have Ken and I and others, and we're also willing to help out whenever we can, too, and work with you in your community. I'm glad you raised those questions. Those are very important questions about communicating with the public as we go forward. Just very quickly to finish up the agenda for Prince George, we'll also talk about not only the questions but the process we should follow. We have developed for ourselves some shared values about how working together, and as some member pointed out to me not terribly long ago, these shared values are easy to live with when things are going easy. But, you know, when you kind of see some white water in rapids, it gets a little more difficult. My hunch is we probably will continue to remind ourselves even more keenly about the shared values, about how to work together, and then the one that I've suggested we add, the perception of fairness, that the community sees us as acting fairly. My hunch is that we will continue our dialogue as we've been doing, but with a lot more reporting back. We've heard that a lot of people want to know more about what's been happening in the discussion groups. And so when we get here in the fall, we'll probably do a lot of that. We'll probably make decisions in an incremental way. That is, we will kind of say, yeah, that's a pretty good idea. Let's move on. Let's incorporate that. And then we're going to say, you know what? Let's revisit that previous decision. As I think Campbell put it, don't be afraid of taking second bites at things. So that we can move along, maybe go back a little bit, move in a different direction. We see that there's a fairly large consensus emerging here, but you know what? There's a lot of concern about something else. Let's deal with that concern and see if we can bring that in. Is there any ways we can do it so that we bring the group to a larger common ground? That's roughly how we're going to probably employ the process, the deliberative dialogue process for the fall, and happy to expand upon that in our meeting. As the member said, nothing is decided until everything is decided. That is, everything is open until we say, do you think this is where we're at? Okay? And then we'll say, yeah. And hopefully it's a hugely unanimous, hey, I think this is where we're at. The final report. I guess I better get moving, Leo. I'm moving into your time by 5 minutes. So I'll move fast. The final report, I'm suggesting, has three sections. The first section is mandatory. This is what we're required by our terms of reference. We must describe the current system. We must describe a new system if we're recommending it, and some detail, by the way, quite a lot of detail. And then we must provide a rationale for our recommendation. That's what we're required to do. I'm suggesting that we also have a chapter on the Citizens Assembly process, all the way from the mandate to the selection process, to our learning phases, right through to our decision. For the record, this is unique. It's historic. No one's ever done this before. And we should provide a very good record of the process of the Citizens Assembly. And then thirdly, it's not in our mandate,
But I keep on saying that to you. That's not in our mandate, Don, or whatever it is, you know. There are things that have been considered here that we think are very important. And I would hope that we would have some time. Perhaps if we finish, let's say, early week 5, we'll ask Leo, Leo, is there still money in the budget for week 6? And even if we finished our job, let's come back on week 6 and think about the things that we've talked about that are outside the mandate that we would like to make comment on, some observations that we'd like to make comment. For example, the discipline exercised over political parties and other kinds of matters that we think are very important to the electoral voting system. And I know that I've kept on saying too often that's not in our mandate because that's we must get our job done. But if we get our job done and get it done a little bit early, let's visit those things because some of those matters are very, very important. We might want to choose only 2 or 3 because if you choose 10, people won't listen. But choose 2 or 3 that are most important to us as an assembly, that are observations that we will leave to the public and to the government to think about. So that's what I'm suggesting the report might look like. Any comments, quick comments on that? Otherwise, I'm going to get a nudge from Leo. Yes, Tanis.
If we do come back in week 6, I think it would also be a really great opportunity for us to reflect on this process so that, because I know that you guys will probably be writing about just the process that we've been through. And so just want to put that out there.
Absolutely. We will do that. We're not going to write about the process without consulting you. We're going to get some rich data about some personal experiences that people had right from the selection meeting right through here. What happened? What happened to my last one? The last slide. I'm going to go fast. It's important. Okay, thank you very much. For me, this is the most important comment I can make, and that is that we must deliver a credible report. All of you have worried about whether or not the government or the government, successor government or not, is going to take us seriously. I've always indicated, yes, they've made that pledge. It also depends on how credible we are all the way through to the time of a final report. We have been given a lot of independence. We are a totally independent assembly. I have not had one instance of any level of government trying to interfere in our process. We are totally independent. I think the government is very proud of the fact that we are an independent group. But with that independence comes, I think, a very big responsibility, a responsibility that we have exercised to date really, really well. We have really worked hard. We have learned about each other. We have learned about the province. We have learned about the various values that we think are very important for the electoral system. We've learned about these systems, STV, and all these other kinds of things. We've worked very hard at that. We must go forward. A very important thing that we must learn to do is to be nonpartisan. We cannot, in my view, comment critically or positively or whatever on any political, past political government or previous government or whatever. We simply must be nonpartisan. To the extent that we become partisan, the less credible our report will be. I am really proud of our assembly. I think we have done a remarkable job in the assembly and in the private groups. I have very rarely, and only in a very small way, have heard comments that could be conceived as partisan. We as an assembly as a whole have been very independent and very nonpartisan. And we emphasized that right from the selection meetings when we asked you if you were still interested. You may think that I'm probably putting too much emphasis on this or I've repeated myself too often, but I can't tell you how important it is. In the end, if we lose on the basis of being partisan, or even if 4, 5, 6, 7 members start to make partisan kinds of comments, that will reflect on the whole assembly. It will reflect on all of us. And then we lose on being fair. People have to see us as being fair. This is the most marvelous thing a democracy has ever done in terms of a new kind of a social tool in democracy. And we're going to deliver, I believe, I'm absolutely confident, we're going to deliver an absolutely total, credible report. Because we are going to be nonpartisan, we are going to be fair, and we are going to deliver. Are we going to deliver a credible report? You bet it.